August 12th meeting of the DRB. This is a remote or online meeting where all participants will be on video or audio conference. We're conducting this meeting remotely so that everyone can participate safely while we are under a public health emergency. We would appreciate your patience as this may be the first DRB meeting for some. At times, we will mute everyone but those who are speaking. On your own, please keep your audio on mute when you are not involved in the case being heard. Please note that we are recording the audio of this meeting. Since it is audio only, it will be important that you give your name each time before you begin your remarks. We will use the chat capability of Zoom to let you know which agenda item we are on. Please watch for that feed. The chat will also let you ask a question of the moderator, which is myself along with Maggie Gould and Mr. Rodenbeck. We want to inform you that all chat conversations are part of the record and subject to the Inspection of Public Records Act. Please keep your chat comments relevant to the meeting. I would like the DRB members to introduce themselves, starting with Water Authority.
Hello, Chris Cadena with the Water Authority.
Good morning, Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement.
Good morning, this is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Recreation.
Good morning, Ernest Armijo, Hydrology.
Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair. Our first order of business is to suspend the rules of the DRB to one, accommodate a virtual or remote meeting of the DRB through Zoom, and two, allow DRB members to provide electronic signatures or approve plats and plans after the meeting rather than during the meeting. Is there a motion to suspend the rules for this purpose?
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, I make a motion to suspend the rules as stated.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I second.
Okay, let's vote.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia, Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There is a consensus vote of the DRB to suspend the rules as just stated. A note to our applicants, I first wanted to just mention that the DRB members really appreciate the work that applicants are doing to try to get their submittals in on time. And if they aren't able to complete those steps, to accept a deferral. This is going to help us make our meetings more efficient. So we appreciate your help with that. We appreciate that you're getting your information into Ms. Gomez so that it can be routed appropriately. Those DRB members who approve of your site plan, plat, or infrastructure improvements agreement today will electronically sign those documents following the meeting. Electronic signatures will not happen during the meeting in order to expedite the agenda. Mr. J. Rodenbeck will be routing those documents through the DRB members after the meeting. Applicants need to have all their utility signatures complete before submitting final PDFs to Mr. Rodenbeck for signature. And this is the quickest path to get signatures completed. And I want to thank our applicants also for complying with this request. That process is going a lot smoother now. Then after those electronic signatures, you will receive an emailed copy of your signed document. If you're approved with delegation, you will need to email me, the other DRB member accepting delegation, and Mr. Rodenbeck to get signatures at a later date. Those final signatures will also be done electronically. Please include your digital blue sheet with your email for a delegated item. Ms. Angela Gomez is our hearing monitor. Ms. Gomez, will you alert us to changes to the agenda?
Yes, for item number For item number two, PR 2020-003259, the agent has requested a deferral to September 16th.
Okay, and since that one was requested earlier and is listed that way on the agenda, the DRB does not need to vote on that one. Let's go ahead and do let's do a couple of the minor cases to start with. so we can just keep track of two or a few at a time.
Okay. For item number 4, PR 2020-003461, the agent has requested a deferral to September 2nd.
Okay. Let's go ahead and vote on that one. Is there a motion to defer item 4, project 2020-3461 to the September 2nd meeting of the DRB?
Chris, could Inland Water Authority make a motion to defer item number 4 to September 2nd?
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, second.
Okay, please vote.
Chris, could Inland Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jean Wolfenbarger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote to defer item number 4 to September 2nd. Let's go ahead and do the next three, Ms. Gomez, which have the same applicant agent.
Okay, for item number 5, PR 2019-001985, the agent has requested a deferral to August 26th. For item number 6, PR 2019-002607, the agent has requested a deferral to August 26th. And for item number 7, PR 2019-003626, the agent has requested a deferral to September 2nd.
Okay, is there a motion to defer items number 5, 6, and 7 to the dates that Ms. Gomez just read for DRB meetings?
Chris, could Inland Water Authority make a motion to defer items as stated? Items 5, 6, and 7 as stated.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, second.
Okay, thank you. And that's for 5, 6, and 7. They do have slightly different hearing dates. Let's go ahead and vote. Mr. Cadena,
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jean Wolfenbarger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to defer items 5, 6, and 7 to the dates that Ms. Gomez read into the record. Ms. Gomez?
And for item number 9, PR 2019-002268, the agent has requested a deferral to August 19th.
Okay, is there a motion for that deferral on item number 9?
Chris, could Inland Water Authority make a motion to defer item number 9 to August 19th?
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I second.
Okay, please vote.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenbarger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item number 9 to August 19th. Anything else, Ms. Gomez?
That's all I have this morning.
Okay, thank you very much. Now that we have the agenda set for today, we will ask any members of the public that would like to speak on a particular item to let us know that now. This is similar to signing up to speak. You will sign up now, but your opportunity to speak will be when the case is called, similar to how we do in-person meetings. So now if you want to sign up to speak and you're on Zoom, you can use that raise your hand feature. It's the blue hand that you see on the participants list. If you are on video and just want to raise your hand like I'm doing, that works. And also on audio, if you're on audio only, you can press star 9 and that blue raise your hand icon will come up. So let's take a minute here and go through our participant list and see if we have members of the public wanting to speak. All right, I don't see any at this time. Kelly Cockrell. Ms. Cockrell, let's...
Aye.
Let's, okay. Thank you. Our, we've got you on mute and... okay, perfect. Ms. Hello. Cockrell, which agenda item did you want to speak on?
let's see here. It is...
Four items.
Yeah, it's the project... Hold on, I've got this pulled up. It's 003420.
Okay, so item number three, okay? So Ms. Gomez, if you'll take down Ms. Cockrell's name, and we'll call on you when we come to that item.
Awesome, thank you.
Thank you. I don't see any other hands or indicators. So once again, I will check as we go through various items to make sure we don't miss anyone from the public. If there are any technical issues this morning, I will end the DRB meeting and we will resume at 1 p.m. Sometimes there's technical issues with a Zoom call where people can't be heard or whatnot. So if that were, if anything like that happens, we'll end probably immediately and resume at 1 p.m. using the same Zoom link and phone number so you can get back in. As we begin, I will read a statement regarding the purpose of the Development Review Board. The DRB was created in 1982 to offer efficient considerations of technical standards. The DRB streamlines the application process by bringing together key department staff responsible for the specialized review of projects in a forum where staff and applicant meet to discuss projects and the public can ask questions and share input for those decisions. The DRB staff members apply the technical standards and requirements in the Integrated Development Ordinance and the Development Process Manual. I would like to introduce staff and swear them in at the same time. Ms. Maggie Gould is a planning manager. Ms. Gould, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
This is Maggie Gould, and yes, I do.
Thank you. Jay Rodenbeck is a DRB planner. Mr. Rodenbeck, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I do.
Thank you. And Shahab Biazar is our city engineer. Mr. Biazar, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
This is Shahab Biazar, I do.
And Nicole Sanchez is legal counsel to the DRB, and I'd like to introduce her.
Good morning.
Thank you, Ms. Sanchez. All right. Let me call our first case, which is Project PR 2019-1996, final plat for SD 2020-136. This is PV Durango LLC, located at Woodmont Avenue and Rainbow Boulevard and Paseo del Norte. Okay, this is to create a 37 lot and three track subdivision. All right, before I call our applicant team, I'd just like to go through DRB members. And please disclose if you have had ex parte communications regarding this case. Let's start with Water Authority.
Hello, Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. I've discussed in the past with this project regarding platting, but it's been some time. Thank you.
This is Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement. I have not had ex parte communications regarding this case.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. I have not had any ex parte communications regarding this case.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. I have not had any ex parte communications on this case.
Jay Wolfenbarger with Transportation. I have not had any ex parte communications with this case.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair. I have not had any ex parte communications. Okay, Mr. Archuleta. Will you be the, are you here with anyone else? Mr. Scott Steffen. Okay, let's start with you, Mr. Archuleta. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
Madam Chair, this is Derek Archuleta. Yes, I do swear to tell the truth.
Okay, and Scott Steffen, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
This is Scott Steffen. Yes, I do.
Okay. Thank you. Go ahead, whichever one of you wants to present this application.
Okay, good morning, Madam Chair and members of the board. This is a request for a 37 lot, three track subdivision. As you stated, located on Woodmont Avenue. The preliminary plat was presented to the DRB in August of 2019, and we're here to receive final plat comments for this major subdivision. Thank you.
Okay, and Mr. Archuleta, can you guide us just slightly, just to make sure, on the left of the screen, it shows the zoning map with a boundary line for PR 1996. This plat is smaller than that area, correct? Can you?
Madam Chair, members of the board, yes, that is correct.
Okay. So just kind of briefly identify where this plat is in that map on the left.
Madam Chair, if Mr. Stephan can elaborate, that would be best.
Okay.
Madam Chair, this is Scott Stephan. The area that is being platted, if you see the plat, Red Mountain Road, that is this area here. You can see the extension of Molas Road. That comes into the platting area and heads north. If you see the light thin line just to the right of the RD1 zone identification, that is the western boundary of the three subdivision. And Wemanucci on the south is the road that you can see coming south off of the west end of Molas, that is Strader Street, that comes down, and then Wemanucci to the west. And the south boundary of the subdivision is the north boundary of the school site.
Okay, thank you. That's helpful just to make sure we're lined up. All right. Once again, if there's any member of the public that wishes to speak on this case, you need to raise your hand in Zoom, raise your hand in the video, or press star 9 on audio. All right, seeing none, let's go ahead and go to board comments, starting with Water Authority.
Hello, Scott, Derek, this is Chris Daniel with the Water Authority.
Morning.
Scott, I had a question regarding the easement that you show for the 40-foot sewer easement along Strader. Is it supposed to also include storm drain in that language?
This is Scott Stephan. Chris, yes, you're correct. We will get that label corrected to add storm drain. It is, as you identified, a combined sanitary sewer and storm drain easement that lies within the future fighting for Wemanucci Road through what would be known as storm drain.
Yes, Mr. Stephan?
Yes.
We're having some trouble with your microphone. Sometimes it's just a matter of making sure you're pointed directly at your microphone as you're speaking.
Sure.
So maybe just repeat the last two sentences.
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt you.
That's fine. Yes, Chris. So the easement is actually underlaying the future right-of-way for Wemanucci Road. It is a combined sanitary sewer and storm drain easement, and we'll correct that label to properly identify that storm drain is included.
This is Chris Kena. Sounds good. That's all that I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Code enforcement.
I'm Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement. Good morning. Just wanted to list that VPO standards apply. All of CPO 12 standards apply to this area. Walls and fences must comply with section 57D of the IDO. And if I wasn't sure if the project was abutting major public open space or not, but I made a listed on the notes that if it is abutting major public open space, section 57E4 applies and 52H2 applies to this project if it's abutting major public open space. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thanks, Carl.
Okay, and Mr. Archuleta, once again, this is Durango Unit 3, which is not abutting the major public open space, correct?
Madam Chair, members of the board, that is correct.
Okay. Thank you. And let's go now to Parks.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. We don't have any additional comments over previous reviews of this case.
Okay, thank you. Hydrology?
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. Hydrology has an approved grading plan with engineer stamp date of August 12, 2015. We have no objection.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Transportation?
Transportation has no objection.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Planning?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I'll just note that we need the utility to map his signatures prior to DRB members signing the plat, and we need a copy of the DXL file approval from Aegis prior to final sign-off from planning. And, you know, we'll just, I just note that we don't have the IIA in the submittal, but we've concluded that that is something that can be delegated, the recording of the IA. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thanks, Jay.
And Mr. Rodenbeck, can you clarify, is there an AMAFCA signature at this time on the plat?
I had that, I can check here, but I don't believe so. That's why I had it in my comments.
Okay, I just want to make sure, I wasn't sure I listened well to what you were saying. Okay, all right. So it looks like we need the complete utility signatures included and a MAFCA and an Aegis DXF file and an infrastructure improvements agreement. That's recorded.
That's correct.
Okay. I will ask each board member to vote to approve or deny the application. If you're accepting delegation, please summarize that delegation and the time needed.
This is Chris Cannon with the Water Authority. I can approve, but Storm Drain may want to defer until the language is included for storm drain in the easement. I'll defer to them. Thank you.
This is Carl Garcia. Okay. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Mr. Garcia.
This is Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement. I approve.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. As Mr. Cadena mentioned, Hydrology could defer for the easement on Romanucci to show the storm drain easement on there, the language for that.
Mr. Armijo, are you recommending deferral or delegation?
Delegation.
Delegation, okay. For a storm drainage easement on Wiminucci, correct?
Correct.
Or however you say that.
This okay. is Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation. I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves with delegation for the Infrastructure Improvements Agreement, utility signatures, a MAFCA signature, and the Aegis DXF file for 8 weeks. There is a consensus vote to approve item one, project 2019-1996, final plat SD 2020-136, because the application meets all the applicable requirements of IDO and DPM, with delegation to Hydrology and Planning for 8 weeks to address the issues just stated. Thank you, Mr. Archuleta and Mr. Stephan.
Thank you.
I'm just making a few notes. Okay. Thank you, everyone. Item number two is deferred. We are on minor cases now. The first of those is item number three, which is PR 2020-3420, preliminary final plat SD 2020-143. This is for Red Shamrock 21 LLC, located at 10415 Central Avenue Northeast between Eubank Boulevard Northeast and Elizabeth Street Northeast. Subdivide existing tract into two new tracts. The applicant team, please raise your hand. I see Mr. Pine. Okay, Mr. Pine, go ahead and give us an overview of this application.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Jason with Cartesian Surveys. This is a request to subdivide one lot into two new lots located at 10415 Central. Where we are with this, I've submitted the plat to DRB and without a CenturyLink signature. However, I did send Jay an approval letter stating that they looked at and approved it. So we're just waiting them for send us a signed plat back so I can update. And that I will stand for board member comments.
Okay, so Mr. Pine, your voice kind of trailed off a little bit. You're waiting for CenturyLink to sign the plat and do what?
And send it back to me, ma'am.
And send it back to you. Okay. All right. And you have your other utility signatures. Mr. Pine?
Yes, Jason with Cartesian. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Madam Chair, is correct.
Let me go now. I think we had one person signed up from the public on this. Let me just check. Is there anyone else from the public that wishes to speak on item number 3?
I have one speaker, Madam Chair.
Ms. Cockrell, is that you speaking?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And let me check in with Ms. Sanchez. Normally, we haven't been swearing people in, the applicants on minor cases. We often don't have public speaking on minor cases. How would you advise me to proceed?
This is Nicole Sanchez. Madam Chair, I recommend swearing in the member from the public who would like to speak.
Okay. Ms. Cockrell?
Yeah.
Do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead with your comments.
Okay, I've prepared a statement about this. because I think that there's some things that are missing from this project. Thank you so much. My name is Kelly Cockrell, and the application for this project is 17 pages long. And if anybody's interested to turn to page 4 and 5 of page 17, it's the letter in the application. And on page 4, where it says code enforcement, old SU2, it states that the building is vacant and future use is unknown. Well, that's just addressing the one building on the proposed replat A1B, which is the old Golden Corral property. So it's the one on the right that Jason was showing to you. But it's not addressing the other tract, the proposed tract A1A, which is on the left, and it sits adjacent to Eubank. And this is basically what this replat is all about. This is what Josh Skarsgård wants to do. And it's a problem because this replat is for the future Murphy Fueling Station. And yet nowhere on this application does it state that the applicant is getting this replatted for a Murphy Fueling Station, except for one place. And that place is the last page on page 17. And it has Murphy's name, Murphy Fueling, Murphy Oil, name attached to it 3 times, and that's to the utility plan. And so we've got this here. It's glaring. It's the elephant in the room that this is what this is about, is for Murphy and Murphy's station. So I'm asking you, how can this be a legitimate public hearing for this project when the details are hidden on this application in plain sight? The board sat in on a sketch plan meeting in March, as I understand it, But the public is not a part of that, and that's just procedure, as I understand. And therefore, the letter in the application does not speak to the public. If you look at the letter, it just goes over the things that you guys discussed in that meeting. And you open these places, things up for the public so that we can comment on them. But we don't have enough information about this to be able to understand it. It's just considering things that the board has gone over with them. And so basically what I'm saying is the applicant's not forthcoming in this application. They're not being truthful, meaning Josh Skarsgård and Red Shamrock. Two other points. On the second page of the letter under planning, it states the applicant must confirm whether or not the parking requirements for the uses on this site will continue to be met with the subdivision. And then the answer to that is the existing building is vacant and will be unable to determine its uses and parking requirement. Well, again, this applicant addresses A1B tract, the proposed A1B tract, which has the Golden Corral building on it. But again, it does not address the A1A tract, which is where the Murphy station is going to go. And you see, we've seen this before. Modulus Architects, let me give you some history. Modulus Architects has provided a plat because they had a variance request with the ZHE for an 8-foot variance. And then they pulled out of it because we were fighting it. It's going right next to where my home is nearby. Well, they dropped the variance request, and one of the problems, though, with that variance request is that it only had offered 10 parking spaces for that plat, but there's the IDO states that there must be 12 parking spaces. So this is a problem, and this application, again, is not being forthcoming. It's not honest. It does not address the A1A plat. It's only addressing the A1B tract where the Golden Corral is. And so finally, in the email with subject line 10415 from Delaine Carmona, dated July 1st of this year, ironically enough, the neighborhood that shall be affected most from this replat is not listed as being notified publicly, and which is Town Park. And not even the people whose property lines are 57 feet away from the nearest pump, proposed gas pump, got notified of this. So I understand it's your purpose is to make sure that all the technical aspects of a replat are legitimate, and you will hold these public meetings so that the public can speak for them. But my question is, how can the DRB sign off on this as being legitimate when the applicant is not being forthcoming to the public with all the details, with all the technicalities? With this implementation of this IDO, we defaulted to a plan development. So we don't get any of the considerations. We don't get conditional use permits, nothing. And so for these reasons, I'm asking you to please defer this project so that we who live closest to this project can be properly told the truth about what is about to happen to their property lines, our property values, our health, and our well-being. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Cockrell. I'm going to say a few things, and then I'm going to let Mr. Pine address some of the concerns that you've brought up. So this case did come in for a sketch plat on March 4th, and I look back at my notes on that. And if you'll notice that our agenda today, sketch plots are listed at the end of the agenda. So the sketch plots are a public meeting that members of the public are welcome to sit in and listen to regarding a sketch plat. It doesn't require notice, so you may not have known about it, but it isn't a closed meeting. And then I also wanted to point out that the current request before us is for a preliminary and final plat. So it's just to establish what the lot lines would be for future development and what some of the infrastructure requirements are that would accompany that plat in that location. It's not a site plan for development, and that site plan for development would either go to admin as administrative process or back through the DRB, just depending on certain circumstances. And And there'll be some comment on that later. So it is helpful if the applicant provides information about what their use is. And I think you've hit the nail on the head. It's very important with regard to parking requirements. But whether this goes through site plan DRB or site plan admin in the future, they will be required to meet IDO parking requirements. So if for some reason they've carved out too small a parcel for what they are doing, they're going to have problems getting through site plan approval without the proper parking requirements. And that will come up in the comments today. So now let me go to Mr. Pine. And if you could address anything else you'd like to address with regard to how you've presented your application. And then secondly, your notice requirements, Mr. Pine.
Madam Chair. Good morning, Ms. Cockrell. This is merely a preliminary final plat for a replat approval, but that is a separate issue from the site plan. We did use the site plan as a reference to carve out the lot line, so the site plan will be submitted by Modulus, you said, and I will address your concerns to Red Shamrock, mostly Josh and Trish over there. And if you want, I will give you their contact info if you don't already have it. So other than that, yes, I'm just, all I know from this point, I don't know anything about the development and the site itself for the Murphy gas station.
Okay. So Mr. Pine, are you saying that some of the materials talk about this being for a Murphy gas station, is that the intended use? Sometimes it can just help in DRB comments to know where you're aiming.
Yes, if that is my answer, yes.
Okay. Ms. Cockrell also asked if notice had been properly given. She mentioned Town Park neighborhood at 57 feet away. Can you go over how you did your notice for this particular plat?
I requested a neighborhood inquiry response through the city, per the city IDO instructions, and they sent me a list of the neighborhood, names of the neighborhood associations that were affected, and I typed up a letter. I don't know, Jay, if you scroll down. There's the request, and then all right there, that's the letter that I included in the email to the neighborhood. And attached a plat. A plat and a zone atlas page to all the neighborhood associations per the IDO instructions.
Okay. So go back to the list of the neighborhoods. Those are the neighborhoods that you notified, correct, Mr. Pine?
Yes.
Okay. Ms. Cockrell, do you have any evidence that someone else should have been notified that's not on this list? And I just remind you that you have to be a registered neighborhood association with the Office of Neighborhood Coordination?
well, maybe we're not then. Maybe Town Park is not registered with that, but that does not, that we should be able to have notice if it's going to be within 100 feet away from our properties. I mean, let me ask you this, what do neighborhood associations, what do houses, people who live in houses who are not part of a neighborhood association in Albuquerque, how are they notified?
Okay, there are a couple of things. Mr. Pine, did you post this property?
Say again, Madam Chair.
And maybe I need to go to Ms. Gould. Ms. Gould?
Madam Chair, this is Maggie Gould. So this request before the DRB is for a preliminary and final plat together. It's a minor platting action. And the notice requirements are an email to the recognized neighborhood associations. There is no requirement for signposting or for notification to property owners within 100 feet. If it was a major action where they were doing a preliminary plat, then the final application, those extra notice requirements would kick in, but because it is a minor platting action, it's creating less than 10 lots and there's no major infrastructure tied to it. The notice for this project appears to be correct.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Gould. So the other way people would know, Ms. Cockrell, is just as we post agendas, DRB agendas on the website. But as Ms. Gould pointed out, for a plat where you're changing lot lines, it's not, it doesn't have the same notice requirements as other actions that might precede that would be considered major cases. Okay. Thank you everyone for your comments. And let's go ahead and go to board comments and then we can circle back to clear up any misunderstandings that might be out there. Let's go to Water Authority.
Hello, Jason. This is Chris Bannon with the Water Authority. I have no objection. Just for the record, you propose to provide service for tract K1A from the existing sewer on the west side of Eubank, as opposed to a private sanitary sewer across tract A1B to access sewer to the south. And for information only, once development is known, you'll request an availability statement. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Code enforcement.
Carl Garcia with code enforcement. Good morning. Code enforcement has reviewed this project for compliance with the IDO and has no objections at this time.
Okay, thank you. Parks and Recreation.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Recreation. I apologize. I thought this one was deferred, so I didn't provide written comments, but our comments are the same as the sketch, but although when I looked at the sketch plat comments, I don't think those were on the record either. We don't have an objection to the current request, but I did want to have on the record that we would say that Eubank Boulevard is a regional principal arterial that requires street trees and upon development, and Central Avenue requires street trees upon development. So I can submit those written after this meeting.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Mm-hmm. Okay, hydrology.
Ernest Armijo, hydrology. We'd ask that you add a cross lot drainage easement note specifying the beneficiary and maintenance agreement to the plat. And just a comment for future development, lot A1A will need an approved grading and drainage plan prior to building permit if one of these conditions is met. 500 cubic yards of grading, 1,000 square feet of proposed building, or 10,000 square feet of proposed paving.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Ernest. I will update the plat and resubmit it by Friday for supplemental.
Thank you.
Okay, transportation.
This is Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation. Thank you, Jason, for addressing my comments on the shared access. I have no issue with the interior lot lines. However, when I was looking at the submittal again this morning, I noted that there was no TIS form attached to this. And, you know, as to whether or not TIS was required, had one been done for that?
I would have to, this is Jason with Cartesian Surveys. I would have to talk to the client about that. There was one done. If there is, I'll get it to you by Friday.
Okay. This is Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation. I don't feel comfortable moving forward with this until I have that in hand. It has a potential to affect the outer lot lines.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Wolfenberger, for that clarity. Planning?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. We just need to have the project number and the application number on the plat, Jason. And as you mentioned, we need the CenturyLink utility signature prior to DRB signatures, and we need a copy of the DXF file approval email from AGES. That's all I have. Thank you very much.
This is Jason Cartesian. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Mr. BSR, City Engineer.
This is Shahab BSR, City Engineer. I just had a quick question. On the table, they are showing at the existing building as an office use. So I had a question. Can this be used as a retail where their parking requirement might be different based on the zoning?
Yeah. Mr. BSR, I was just, Ms. Gould, can you go ahead and address the parking issue? I think that's something that was brought up that needs to be clearly stated. How we'll handle the parking requirements.
So this is Maggie Gould. So I think the whatever use, so right now there is a vacant building, and then I was unclear as to whether this building will be, my understanding was this, and Mr. Pine can correct me here, my understanding is the existing building is going to be reused, and so they will go through for either the site plan administrative for a new building, or they will have to come in for a change of use, a change of occupancy. And at that time, code enforcement will determine the number of parking spaces that they need. And they will have to meet their parking requirements, or they will have to obtain a variance to those parking requirements.
So this is Shahabi. So my question is, if somebody just decided to occupy that building, how would that be enforced?
This is Maggie Gould. I might need Mr. Garcia's help on this because I'm not sure. I know that they check when people come in for business licenses, and I know that they check when people come in for tenant improvements, but I'll defer to Mr. Garcia on that.
Yes. Carl Garcia with code enforcement. Code enforcement would, if somebody was to occupy the building, they would need to obtain a business registration. And at that point, we would determine the use, the type of use, and then we would refer to the parking table, table 551, and that would, give the determination of the required parking.
This is Shaw Beers. Thank you for the clarification.
Thank you.
I just want to look quickly. Mr. Pine, have you and your applicant looked at 551 for the use that you're proposing, which is a sounds like a light vehicle refueling station?
Yes.
I believe so, Madam Chair. I can. They have where they have. Haven't.
Okay. And if I'm correct here, for light vehicle refueling, it's 4 spaces per 1,000 square feet of gross floor area. So I think we want to make sure you've done a cross-check on that to make sure that you're not forcing yourselves into needing to ask a variance. So if you can also just talk with your owner and see if they're thinking through that parking requirement for the use that they're proposing.
Yes, Madam Chair, I will address this comment.
Okay, so it looks like we need to get our cross lot drainage language on the plat, and we need the TIS taken care of, as well as the signatures Mr. Rodenbeck brought up. I think a deferral might be best for this application. What would you suggest, Mr. Pine?
I suggest 1 week, and if not, I can call it before to ask for a deferral if you need more time.
Okay. So I think the TIS is particularly important for you to address. So you'd have just the 48 hours to do that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So let's go ahead then and look at August 19th. Is there a motion to defer item number 3? Oh, let me stop before I do that. Ms. Cockrell, you have an opportunity if you need to, or Mr. Archuleta, or Mr. Pine, I'm sorry, as well. If there are any questions that you have to follow up on, this is just not to give more testimony about the case, but rather to have any follow-up questions to clarify any of the information that's been shared by the applicant or staff.
Yes, I have a question.
Sure, so, go ahead.
Mr. Pine, why is it that if you know that this is about a light fueling station and it's included on the utility plan, and you addressed that you did admit that that the parking for this, during your conversation with Ms. Wolfley, that that this is something that you guys have talked about. So we do know, we have established this is for a light fueling station. Why is it that nowhere on the application was this stated, that this was going to be its intended use? That's my question.
Okay, Mr. Pine.
Okay. Hello, Ms. Cockrell, this is Jason with Cartesian Surveys. As far as the intended use, the utility plan was just a reference for all the other board members to view what was being on site. As far as, I think I need you to reiterate the question again so I can have a better understanding.
Ms. Cockrell?
Sure. Why is it that when there's this utility plan states it's for Murphy Station, that this is clearly its intended use is for a fueling station, and something that you admitted with Ms. Wolfley that when she mentioned this, that this is going to be the possible intended use is for a light fueling station. Why is it that you did not state this in your application, and why wasn't this stuff addressed for tract A1A?
Yes, Ms. Cockrell, this is Jason with Cartesian. What we do is mostly concerning the replatting of the property itself. We don't really address stuff with the site plan. That's a separate issue that Modulus will be submitting to the DRB, and any questions relating to the development of the site is mostly related to them. So we do not really use, we don't use the site plan itself as part of our replat process.
Right, but doesn't it ask in the application, what is the intended, is there an intended use, one, and what is it?
I would probably have to defer to Maggie. She probably can do that for me.
Okay. Ms. Cockrell, I'm going to step in here a minute. So if someone is platting their property, they aren't required to establish a use at that point. It's helpful to the DRB to know about that because there are some considerations, like we've talked about parking, and Ms. Wolfenberger has talked about a traffic impact study. So there are some things that we're going to try to look at, but an owner would put themselves in jeopardy if they also didn't look at those things and they platted a parcel that was too small to allow their required parking. That would be, putting themselves in some jeopardy. So we can look at that to a certain extent, but there's no requirement for a preliminary final plat that they are establishing use at this time beyond what their zoning is. Ms. Gould, do you have anything to add to that?
This is Maggie Gould. No, Madam Chair, I think that's correct, that this is an action about subdividing the property, and then future use will have to comply with all of the applicable regulations.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Cockrell and Mr. Pine. I think we're at the point of looking what action to take on this. Is there a motion to defer item number 3, project PR 2020-3420 preliminary final plat SD 2020-143 to the August 19th meeting of the DRB?
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec, and I move to defer item number 3 to the August 19th DRB meeting.
Okay. Ms. Wolfenberger, do you think that will be enough time for what you need?
This is Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation. I'll need to look at the form before I can make that decision.
Okay. And I think Mr. Pine was saying he would look at that as well, and if he needed more time, he would ask for that before we get to August 19th. So let's go ahead then and see if there's a second to Ms. Sommerfeld's motion.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, second.
Okay, please vote, starting with Water Authority.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item 3 to August 19th. Okay, thank you, Mr. Pine and Ms. Cockrell. And there's opportunity next week to be involved as you see fit, Ms. Cockrell. Okay?
So much.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Item number 4, 5, 6, and 7 are deferred. Those were deferred at the beginning of the meeting. So we are on item number 8, which is project 2019-2332, preliminary final plat SD 2020-85, DPM waiver VA 2020-224. This is for Jody Masters at 2737 Carson Road Northwest. Create two lots from one existing lot. The applicant is represented by Mr. Archuleta. Okay, Mr. Archuleta, go ahead and give us an update.
Yes, morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. This is a request to create two lots from one existing lot at the end of Carson Road. The item was deferred from last Wednesday's agenda in an effort to address comments from the Water Authority. And my understanding is there has been an exchange of information by Mr. David Sewell, who is also here today, to provide Mr. Cadena with some additional information, including the infrastructure list. So at this time, we're here for comments related to the new information, as well as other agency comments in our effort to complete this platting action. Thank you.
All right. Mr. David Sewell, I saw you in the room here. Do you have anything to add now?
Yes, this is David Sewell at Rio Grande Engineering. We did revise the plat, and the outstanding issue, as I understand it, was from the Water Authority. We needed to provide an easement from where we're tying existing utilities to our property. We are proposing to do that because it is off-site. We are proposing to do that with a paper document. And we have added the paper document onto the plat, and we have left the recording information blank because we have not filed that yet. Based upon the comments, we're proposing a 20-foot easement. Water Authority had requested a 25-foot easement, and our justification was 20 foot fits in with the existing roadway easement, and the owner of the adjacent property probably will not look kindly on us asking for an additional 5 feet from his property. Him granting it where the existing road is reasonable. That's why we were proposing a 20 foot easement instead of a 25 foot easement. That was what we intended to do to solve this issue.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Sewell. And Mr. Rodenbeck, if you can zoom in on the plat and especially that corner down there. All right. Is there anyone from the public that wishes to speak on this item? I don't see anyone. Let's go to Water Authority for comment.
Hello, David. Derek, this is Chris Cannon with the Water Authority. Availability statement number 200204 has been issued and provides the conditions for service. Now, the offsite public water line and sanitary sewer easement information, recording information needs to be populated on the plat just to ensure that the subject property is indeed able to extend the required infrastructure. So that would be required prior to approval. So we can work offline and get the paper easement signed. Then you can have that to record on the plat, or you can have that recording information to put on the plat. The submittal did provide that survey exhibit, which is for a paper easement. The document does propose a 20-foot width as opposed to required 25 feet. Sounds like you're only able to get the 20 feet. David, do you feel that the depth for the sewer line and the trench for the sewer line is suitable to be operated and maintained within that 20-foot easement in that particular area? Obstructions, walls?
I do believe it is. It's shallow. I believe it's less than 5 foot deep. It's not as shallow as a different project we're working on, but it's shallow, and I do believe it will fit within the easement, and there will be plenty of room for maintenance and separation between the water and sewer line within the 20 feet because of its shallowness.
This is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. Thank you, David. The proposed 25-foot public water line and sanitary sewer easement is being overlaid with the proposed public utility easement. And as you know, we can't really have that as our easements shall be exclusive, meaning no underground utilities shall be within that corridor. And that's just really for safety. Having public utilities in the Water Authority easement allows gas, electric, even other dry utilities to be within that same easement. And it causes safety issues or safety concerns when we're trenching or operating it. It's just not very safe. So granting the private access easement along the corridor is acceptable given that it's a service easement. So just keep that in mind. A previous comment I had was the plat shall grant the private water and private sewer The plat shall grant a private water and private sanitary sewer service easement for the benefit of proposed lot 2 across proposed lot 1. So essentially, lot 2 is going to cross lot 1 to access the east-west public water and sewer easement. And lastly, the infrastructure list. I didn't see one included in this latest submittal, but I had a previous comment regarding the extension of the public water line wasn't included previously. The description of that water line and the sewer shall identify the corridors being along Carson Road / the new public water and sanitary sewer easement. And you can say from the east property line to the point of connection. And you may also have to include additional offsite, maybe using your west property line to existing water and existing sewer. However you feel better describes the limits. And the previous comment was to include a second sewer service. A total of 2 shall be provided for lot 1 and 2. I wouldn't really say it needs to be on the infrastructure list, but since you had the 1, I thought it would make sense for completeness to have them both. And with regard to the DPM waiver, I'll defer to transportation. Thank you.
This is David Sewell. May I address some of those questions?
Go ahead, Mr. Sewell.
Yes. Chris, the resubmittal that was submitted, it did have the infrastructure list on there. I forwarded that email to you this morning because I read that comment, but we did revise the infrastructure list, and I do believe we have addressed everything on there based upon your comments. If you look at this drawing, we did remove the public utility from that access easement on the verbiage on the very bottom of the plat, so we did remove that. We will get public utilities via a different route. On the drawing, there is line work that shows that waterline easement going from lot 1 to lot 2. It's not labeled, but the line work is there. We need to properly label it. But I do believe that this plat reflects those comments, as well as the infrastructure list was correct to address all those comments as well. And it should be in your email box now, and it was attached to the supplementary submittal, but I'm not sure how it didn't get or why it didn't.
This is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. I'm looking through it now. Would I be able to share my screen?
Hey, Rodenbeck, got the latest infrastructure list that we have in DMD. I have up here.
This is Chris Cadena with Water Authority. If you open the latest supplemental submittal that was provided for the August 12th meeting, it's a 6-page document and it includes the cover sheet. It includes 3 pages of the plat and includes the paper easement, and that's it.
This is Maggie Gould. Mr. Cadena also has permission to share his screen as well.
Well, and this is Chris Cadena with Water. I mean, the sharing of the screen was just merely to just demonstrate that what was shown in the supplemental submittal didn't have it. I might go through that effort, but hopefully you believe me. Jay can show it as well.
So this is David Sewell. The supplemental that you described, I'm not sure who submitted that one, because I'm the one that prepared the one for Friday, and it had 3 documents, which was the infrastructure list, the plat, and I'm not sure what else. But what you described, I don't remember preparing. So maybe that was an older one, or somebody else, maybe Derek submitted it.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I'm opening up a supplemental from.
Hey Jay, can I share my screen, please?
Go for it.
Okay, so this is on the Dropbox, and for 2332, there's a one folder. And I click on it, and it's this one submittal. When I click on that, it's a 6-page document for the cover sheet, plat 1, plat 2, plat 3, paper document exhibit, and that's it.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is Derek. Mr. Sewell did submit a supplemental submittal after my submittal on Friday. So I'm looking at the email that he sent. It was sent to the PLNDRS email to Maggie. Those were the only 2 city emails that I see as part of this submittal directly from Mr. Sewell.
All right, this is Jay Rodenbeck. We do have a second submittal. I'm sharing that screen right now. I see a revised submittal form, an infrastructure list, and the revised plat. They both came in on the same day. They both came in on Friday.
Madam Chair, this is Derek. That is correct.
Okay, and do we know if those were sent out to the DRB members?
This is David Sewell. I only did it to Planders and Mrs. Gould, so I didn't realize right. It.
Yeah, and so I'll ask Ms. Gould and Ms. Gomez if they can. And they might need to look back at some emails, but let's go ahead and bring up, can we bring up the infrastructure list? And Mr. Cadena, you can, it looks like that's pretty short if you want to review it.
Hey, this is Chris Cadena. Jay, can you please zoom in? My eyes aren't the greatest. Sweet. All right, let's see. David, this is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. Let's see here. David, the sewer line along Carson Road from the existing sewer to 20 feet west of lot 1 east of property line, that captures the further extent, right? Because there's more sewer than water on this project?
Correct.
Okay. Relocate existing. It says, okay, this is Chris Cadena with Water Authority. It says 3/4-inch double water meter, Carson Road. It doesn't really identify the 2. It's small potatoes. I don't think it's an issue, but it shows just the 1 3/4-inch water meter, not for both lots. I don't know if that's a huge issue. I don't think it's a huge issue, but it's awkward.
This is David Sewell. I added the word double water meter as to try to clarify.
Oh, I see. Well, that makes sense. Sorry about that. Okay. And it's under, this is Chris Cannon with the Water Authority, and it's understood, David, that the extension is not only in Carson Road, but it's also on the easement that you're granting off-site, as well as the easement on-site. I don't know where Carson Road begins or ends, and where the water and sewer easement begins and ends. It's kind of just overlapping for much of the corridor.
That's correct, and I think I tried to solve that by saying from existing, specifically on the water line, I said from existing point of service connection, because you wanted the service connection to be perpendicular, so I tried to get that in the correct verbiage. So I attempted to solve that problem to make it clear, but maybe I didn't do a good enough job.
Yeah, this is Chris Cannon with the Water Authority. That's fine. It looks good, and I think we're all smart enough that when it comes to DRC, we'll hopefully all make it happen. So I think this satisfies what the intent is. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
This is Chris Cannon with the Water Authority. So this does satisfy the comments for the infrastructure list, but I still have comments on the plat.
Right. Why don't we bring the plat up so you can see the resubmittal on the plat?
And this is David Sewell. If you can highlight that area at the very bottom where all the text is, I can show what we did. So I removed the public utility easement. Right now, we're granting a private access easement granted by this plat for the benefits of, and then there's the 25-foot public water and sewer easement. So we eliminated the public utility easement there, and we're gonna provide it offsite via a paper document outside of this. And if you'll notice also—
David, this,
go ahead.
This is Chris Cannon with the Water Authority. Does that public water and sewer easement, is that the rectangle that extends just west of L4?
It is. It goes 5 foot past L4. And then there's also, it heads off north and it's identified as 5 feet wide. It's not identified. That is, it goes from lot one to lot two. There is an easement there granted for the water service, but we just didn't identify, we didn't label it.
This is Christina with Water Authority. Okay, so you'll just add labeling saying, private water and sewer easement for the benefit of lot two across lot one, blah, 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 blah.
That's correct.
That makes sense. Now, when you're going to grant a paper easement, it sounds like you really have no other avenue for that other to encroach into this public water and sewer easement. Is that correct?
That's correct. There's no other way to get there without overlapping on this. And so we're going to actually go with PNM, and I'm attempting to try to do it coming into the property from a different direction.
Okay, this is Chris Cannon with Water Authority. Okay, so that paper easement would not encroach into the water and sewer easement?
That's correct. It's going to be on the north side of Carson Road within the adjacent tract of land.
This is Chris Cannon with the Water Authority. Great. Yeah, we're just checking things off the list, so everything seems to be moving great. So I'm just looking through my comments. So really all we're waiting for then, David, is the labeling of that private water and sewer easement for lot two, okay, as well as the recording of the offsite easement. And I will be able to approve the plat once those are completed.
Thank you.
This is Chris Cannon with Larthus. See, I wasn't lying. I apologize for the inconvenience. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cadena. Let's go to code enforcement.
Carl Garcia with code enforcement. According to contextual standards, and this has been mentioned before, the smallest lot size allowed is 0.3973, and the largest lot size allowed is 0.4996. And it appears you're proposing one lot at 0.3794 and one at 0.3795 acres, which would be smaller than allowed. So it appears two variances would be required. Nothing further.
Mr. Sewell, do you have, or Mr. Archuleta, or Mr. Sewell, do you have any questions?
This is David Sewell. I believe we addressed that in Eric, can you respond to that?
Madam Chair, members of the board, this was a calculation
The lot sizes are based on calculations that were done at Sketchplat by Mr. Jacobo Martinez, and I had submitted a memo reflecting compliance with those calculations. So those lot sizes are based on that.
Okay, is this, I may have reviewed this previously. I'll have to look over this again. I won't be able to find it right now, but would you be able to send me that email again that you sent, Mr. Archuleta?
Madam Chair, Carl, yes. It's from Sketchplat dated back in January, and Jacobo has a calculation range of largest at 0.6323 and smallest at 0.3794, which reflects the lot sizes presented today.
Okay.
Okay.
I will look those over.
Can we bring that up possibly now? If Mr. Archuleta has submitted that for review?
It should be in a prior supplemental submittal as part of the record. But if not, I can, you know,
okay,
and resend it.
Okay.
This is Maggie Gould. Mr. Archuleta, if you can find that email, you have permission to share your screen, and I will also look in the file for that as well right now.
Okay. Let's go ahead to Parks and Recreation.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, we have no additional comments and no objection to the request.
Okay, thank you. Hydrology?
Ernest Armejo, Hydrology. Hydrology has approved grading and drainage plans for both lots with engineer stamp date of June 4th, 2020. We have no objection.
Okay, Transportation.
This is Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation. I just had the one comment, existing fencing is blocking the hammerhead turning movement and shall be removed prior to final platting sign off. That's it.
Okay. All right, planning.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. Derek, we just need the utility and a MAFCA signatures on the plat prior to DRB signatures being obtained, and we need the DXF file approval email from Aegis sent to it.
Okay, thanks, Jay. Madam Chair, members of the board, it was an email that I sent to Carl back in July 16th, and the attachment was the memo, so you can... If you can share screen, you can see the memo scanned that reflects.
Mr. Archuleta, is the memo scan your Sketchplat comments?
Yes.
Okay, those should be accessible right now. Mr. Gould or Mr. Rodenbeck, do you have anything that you can share?
Maggie, I haven't been looking.
This is Maggie Gould. Give me just a moment. My computer is running really slowly and it's not linking up to the X drive or the K drive, and I'm trying to find that original submittal.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. What DRB date did the sketch plot go to?
January 15th of 2020. Also, okay. Jay, I just resent you the email I sent to Carl right now.
Oh, okay. I'm waiting for it to come in. I can bring it up once it does.
That might be quicker.
Yeah, and it just came in here.
Derek, when did you send? This is Carl Garcia, Code Enforcement. Mr. Archuleta, when did you send it to me?
On July the 16th.
July 16th.
Here, I'm sharing the email here. These were code enforcement comments for the sketch plat.
I suppose that means contextual. This lot size would be 6323. Size would be 3794. Acres of compliance. Okay. Yeah, well, it appears that I did see it now, and I believe Mr. Jacobo Martinez was the CEO at the time.
Madam Chair, Carl, that is correct. He was okay. The DRB at the time.
Okay. If I could just ask a question, was there any anything that changed? In other words, was there any easements that were removed since then, or anything that's changed since then?
Madam Chair, Carl, I do not believe so. Just compliance with those lot size calculations were
okay. So the lots
comments, yes.
The proposed lots are in exact same condition or size that they were at this point when these comments were submitted.
Madam Chair, Carl, that is correct.
Okay, then I can go in ahead and abide by Mr. Jacobo Martinez standards, contextual standards.
Okay.
At this time.
Thank you.
Right. And I would just note that Mr. Martinez's memo would relate to the block and the area for smallest and largest. And even if there was slight changes on the lot sizes, then it just needs to be measured against the numbers Mr. Martinez provided. Okay. So Mr. Garcia, you're comfortable with that?
I am.
Thank you. All right. So it looks like we could move this forward, but I would need Mr. Cadena or Ms. Wolfenberger to let me help them with their item that they still need to see. Which of you feels most comfortable, or do either of you feel comfortable having your item delegated to me as DRB chair?
This is Chris Cadena with the Water Authority. I feel that I can take delegation for this particular item, just given that we have some offsite easements that we gotta take care of. That's really the big one on this. The other is just a note on the plat, but it's something really outside that I think would be better suited for me to take delegation.
Okay, thank you.
This is Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation. I can delegate to planning to look for the fencing removal prior to your sign off.
Okay, and Mr. Archuleta, is your client planning to do that fencing removal?
Madam Chair, members of the board, yes, that will be the intention in this effort to complete the plat.
Okay, so you'll need to provide that information to Ms. Wolfenberger and myself, but I'll be actually the responsible party to make sure that happens before I sign off.
That'll work. Thank you.
Okay. I will ask each board member to vote to approve or deny the application. If you're accepting delegation, please summarize that delegation and the time needed. Water Authority.
This is Chris Cannon with the Water Authority. I approve with delegation for the inclusion of the private water and sewer service, as well as the recording of an approved paper document for the offsite water and sewer line. Thank you.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
This is Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation. I approve the delegation to planning to look for the fencing removal for the hammerhead movement.
Okay, and planning approves with delegation to actually sign off based on Ms. Wolfenberger's delineation of the fencing needing to be removed, and also the delegation items of utility signatures, a MAFCA signature, and the AGIS DXF file for, let's go ahead and say for 12 weeks.
Thank you.
There is a consensus vote to approve item PR 2019-2332, preliminary final plat 2020-85, DPM waiver 2020-224, because the application meets all the applicable requirements of IDO and DPM, with delegation to Water Authority and planning for 12 weeks to address the issues just stated. Okay. Do you have everything you need, Ms. Gomez, to make that clear? Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Archuleta and Mr. Sewell. A big accomplishment here. Okay. Just give me a second to make a note. Okay, and Ms. Wolfenberger, I will confer with you before I sign off on that. Item number 9 is deferred. And so we are on item number 10, which is PR 2020-4049, Preliminary Final Plat SD 2020-121, Western Trail Tenancy and Common at Western Trail between the southeast corner of UNSER and Western Trail. Would the applicant team please raise their hand? I see Mr. Tim Aldrich. And go ahead, Mr. Aldrich, and give us an update.
Tim Aldrich, Aldrich Land Surveying, agent for Western Trail Tenancy and Grayland Corporation. We have taken care, addressed, I believe, all comments from the board so far. And I think we're looking for, I'm hoping we can get this delegated so I can get this finalized. Also, the DXF file has been sent a couple of times. I'm in the process of getting a MAFCA and utility signatures presently. And I hope to have that completed in the next week to week and a half.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Aldrich. Is there anyone from the public here to speak on item 10 on Western Trail? All right, I don't see anyone. Let's go to board comments, starting with Water Authority.
This is Chris Gannon with Water Authority. Hello, Tim. Water Authority has no objection. For information only, an availability statement will be required once development is known on the undeveloped lots, and public water and sewer extensions may be required based on that development. And then the required infrastructure list shall be included on an infrastructure list if a site plan will be reviewed by DRB. Thank you.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement. Good morning. Just once again, I'd like to state that this plat must comply with the Lava Trails site plan, and that number is 1001209, all the design guidelines. I reviewed it yesterday. I don't believe there's anything that really pertains to a plat, but I just need to ensure that that is complied with. That's all I have.
Okay, Parks and Recreation.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Mr. Aldrich.
This is Tim Aldrich, Aldrich Land Surveying. Could I ask a question of Mr. Garcia, please?
Yes, go ahead.
Mr. Garcia, I believe we're in compliance with that that site plan. Is there anything I need to do to make it to assure that with you?
A note on the plat would work.
Okay. Device. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Let me go to Ms. Gould for just a second here, or Mr. Rodenbeck, whoever researched this. Can you just remind us if there was some research done on previous site plans for the property, and I just want to clarify the information on that. What is still in effect?
Yeah, this is Jay. Either way, go ahead, Jay.
I believe we determined that due to the lack of improvements constructed on the site per the previous approved plans, that those previous approved plans don't apply to this development now. The only improvements you have is a development that's not a part of this plat that I've got the handover. There are no previously approved plans that actually apply to this development, I believe.
Okay, Ms. Gould, concur?
Madam Chair, yeah, this is Maggie Gould. I would agree with Mr. Rodenbeck. We researched there is a standalone site plan for building permit for the, I believe it's an auto repair shop. The rest of that site had a site plan, but none of the improvements were ever built, and so that site plan would have expired under the previous zoning code.
Okay, so Mr. Garcia, would you agree that there's not a note that needs to be added to the plat?
Madam Chair, Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement. Yes, as I'll rely on the testimony of Maggie Gould and Jay Rodenbeck, and if that's the case, and it did expire, the site development plan did expire, then I would not, no, would not be required on the current plan.
Okay, and this might have been discussed at a meeting that you were absent for, Mr. Garcia, as we have been talking through this, but thank you for being careful in checking those things. We really appreciate it.
Thank you guys for all the information.
Okay, let's go to Parks and Recreation.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. The applicant satisfied our first comment with the note number 23, accommodating the 20-foot buffer adjacent to major public open space. And just for future, we have no objection to the current request, but to note for future that UNSER and Western Trail would require street trees upon development of that meets applicability requirements, which include commercial development. So I just want to make sure that there is room left for that with any site planning design. Thank you. That's all.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Aldrich.
May I ask, please, Tim Aldrich, Aldrich Science Surveying, could I ask a question of Ms. Sommerfeld, please?
Yes, this is the appropriate dialogue to happen at this time.
Okay, Ms. Sommerfeld, pertaining to the street trees for our future development for my client, will those be necessary considering there's a 30 to 40 foot wide landscape strip along UNSER already? Will this be additional trees that will be needed?
Are there already trees provided in that landscape strip that you're talking about?
Yeah, it's part of the UNSER landscaping plan. There's trees in a trail.
No. So are those in the right of way?
Yes.
I would say no, but I can check on that and get back to you.
If you wouldn't mind.
Yes, I will.
Just for reference for my client.
Yes, but then of course you would still provide them on Western Trail, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so I will check on UNSER whether that meets our street tree ordinance.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hydrology.
Ernest Armejo, Hydrology. I apologize. My group has not completed the review of the grading and drainage plan that the applicant has submitted to us, though my staff has looked at it closely enough to be confident that it won't affect any infrastructure lists or anything like this. So Hydrology can take delegation on this.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Armejo. Transportation.
Yes, good morning. This is Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation. Transportation has no objection to the action.
Okay, Ms. Wolfenberger, I had a question on that. Last time we discussed this case, Mr. Biazar talked about the illegal driveway, and I'm wondering how that's going to be rectified.
This is Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation. We had, a driveway added to the infrastructure list in order to address that issue.
Okay. So the illegal driveway would be made legal? Is that your...
It's the constructability of the driveway that was in question, and that driveway was added to the infrastructure list.
Was it a driveway? I'm sorry, this is Shahab. Was it a driveway removal or just reconstruction?
Reconstruction.
Okay, thank you.
Because I drove by this site the other day, and there's definitely a legal accessway that's been built, and then there seems to be a curb cut leading to just a path through the dirt that people have been using. So I just want to make sure Ms. Wolfenberger was aware of all that and could require the action that she sees is necessary.
Madam Chair, this is Tim Aldridge. May I interject here?
Please go ahead, Mr. Aldridge.
On the infrastructure list that I provided Ms. Wolfenberger, I have spoken with my client, and that list includes removal and reconstruction of the curb where the illegal driveway has been cut. Also includes building a temporary turnaround on the project as part of this platting action.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I have the infrastructure list pulled up.
This is Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation. This is the infrastructure list that has been agreed upon with me.
Okay.
I'm sorry, this is Shahab.
Go ahead, Mr. BSR.
So they are not reconstructing the driveway, they are removing it. So that's what I thought. So, okay, that shows that being removed. Okay, thanks.
Okay, let's go to planning.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. Tim mentioned that he's getting the utility and a map of signatures, but we'll need those prior to DRB member signatures being obtained, and we just need to copy the Aegis email approving the DXF file. That's all I have.
Madam Chair?
Go ahead, Mr. Aldridge.
Tim Aldridge, Aldridge Land Surveying. I did have a question for Mr. Biazar and Ms. Wolfenberger, if I might. My client knows that they need to construct the items on this infrastructure list. What is the timing I need to present to them to have this completed? Is there a time frame for that?
This is Shahab Biazar. So what if the DRB approves your plat today, it'll be delegated for financial guarantee. So basically you have to guarantee the improvements. And then once the improvements are guaranteed, you could go do the platting. Or if you choose to go build them first before a financial guarantee, you could do that as well. But typically, developers financially guaranteed improvements, and you could go record the plat after that.
Thank you, sir.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you. So I will ask each board member to vote to approve or deny the application. If you're accepting delegation, please summarize. Wait. I guess we need to do the infrastructure list alongside this. So the application, this vote would include the infrastructure list signing with the preliminary and final plat for, that is 2020-121. So vote to approve or deny the application. If you're accepting delegation, please summarize that delegation and the time needed. Let's start with Water Authority.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Army Hill, Hydrology. I approve with delegation until the grading and drainage plan has reached final approval.
This is Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves with delegation for a MAFCA and utility signatures, the Aegis DXF file, and the infrastructure improvements agreement for 12 weeks. There is a consensus vote to approve item 10, project 2020-4049, infrastructure list and preliminary final plat for SD 2020-121, because the application meets all the applicable requirements of the IDO and DPM, delegation to hydrology and planning for 12 weeks for the issues just stated. Okay, thank you, Mr. Aldridge.
Thank you, members of the board. Have a good day.
All right. Let's see, we are on sketch plats. The first one, item 11, is PR 2019-2663, sketch plat 2020-72. This is for Group 2 U26VC LLC at 6001 Rosa Parks Northwest. Would the applicant team please raise their hand? I see Mr. Voss, Michael Voss, and are you the only one speaking today?
No, Mr. Steve Metro, he is in the meeting, SJ Metro.
Okay, Steve Metro is here as well. Okay, whichever one of you wants to present your sketch plat request.
I guess if Steve wants to give an overview, I guess we're just here to get sketch plat comments. This is the result of a zone change that was approved by the Environmental Planning Commission to rezone the northern part of the property from MXL to MXM. And the condition of approval was to establish a lot line consistent with where the zone line is going to be.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Voss. Mr. Metro, do you have anything you'd like to add? Let's see if he's on mute. Mr. Metro, do you have anything you'd like to add?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Let's go to, well, let me just check. Usually we don't have public on sketch plats, but let's just check. Anyone from the public wishing to speak? No one. Okay. Let's go to Water Authority.
Hello, this is Chris Cannon with the Water Authority. There is pro rata that is assessed to existing tract one that shall be paid prior to plat approval. The amount is $3,620.04 for water, $6,148.38 for sewer, for a total of $9,768.42. An availability statement will be required prior to this plat approval, and it is likely that public water line and sanitary sewer sections will be required to cover all property frontages. Now, there is a draft Volcano Heights Sector Development Plan Infrastructure Needs Assessment report dated October 2019. And that provides a preliminary layout for water and sewer, which includes the subject properties frontage along Paseo del Norte. Now, for this particular development, what might be related is more the infrastructure for the water line. There does show a 12-inch water line in that draft report. And that report does need to be finalized, as previous Water Authority comments have not been addressed. But just keep in mind that would be a helpful tool for this development. There's also a report that the Water Authority had completed, which identified a 15-inch interceptor along Paseo del Norte. Now, the subject property is not expected to discharge to that interceptor, just given existing topography. So it is likely that the subject property is going to discharge to the extension of the 8-inch line along Valiente Road. Now, keep in mind, all this will be identified in an availability statement, which is required prior to this approval. Thank you.
Any questions for Mr. Cadena?
Michael, okay. Were you going to go over the bulk land plat?
Yeah, I guess we can bring this up now, and maybe it's addressed by, it seemed like many of the comments from Water Authority.
Why don't we wait until we get,
I was going to say, maybe we'll wait until Hydrology and Transportation also speak, because they also have comments about infrastructure requirements.
Okay. Let's go ahead to Code Enforcement.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement. All standards of VPO2 apply to the entire area, the entire mapped area, and CPO12 standards apply to low density residential. That's all I have.
Parks and Recreation.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Recreation. We would have no objection to a plat, but just to note, depending on the future development, that both Kimmick and Paseo del Norte are of a classification that would require street trees. So you would want to accommodate that in any future site planning. That's all. Thank you.
Hydrology.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. An approved grading and drainage plan is required prior to approval of preliminary plat. This site falls within the Piedras Marcadas Watershed Drainage Management Plan and must follow the conditions of it. A MAFCA approval will be needed prior to a hydrology approval. The infrastructural list will be needed for preliminary plat. Cross-lot drainage easement note specifying the beneficiary and maintenance agreements needs to be further defined. And just for future comment, approved grading and drainage plan is required prior to building permit if one of these conditions is met. 500 cubic yards of grading, 1,000 square foot of proposed building, or 10,000 square foot of proposed paving.
Okay. Mr. Biazar, our city engineer.
This is Shahab Biazar. You know, on north of Rosa Park, there was a gravel area or like a gravel processing. Is that still happening, or what's going on with that?
That's Guzman has that on there, and we need to coordinate that with him. This is Steve Metro, representing the owners. We need to get with him to kind of he cannot do the gravel crushing anymore there. That permit was not extended, and we've been trying to get him to kind of finalize the dirt work in there to get. He's still storing material there, Shahab, but that's the most I can tell you right now.
So this is Shahab Biazar. I think we need to make sure that's addressed prior to final plat approval. I don't know what the current zoning is, but I know in the past we've had complaints about that process. I don't think we ever got clarification about permits or anything that was obtained for the actual work that is being out there. But I just wanted to put that on record that we need to clarify that prior to final plat approval.
What is it you need to clarify again, so I can discuss that with Guzman?
So we just need to make sure that he is allowed to do what he's doing, but if he's not, basically that operational needs to be stopped and removed from that site, I believe, prior to plotting approval.
Okay. It with regard to the storing of that material that he has on site.
But I think they do storing and processing, and they I don't know, it's just like from what I understand, they were selling materials from that site to public for, base course or other stuff.
Okay.
So it was just being used as a processing site and sell of those materials, I think. Well, I don't know. They were like, people were complaining that there were continuous truck movements on that site. So I don't know if that was ever established that was supposed to be, it was permitted for that type of work or not, because it's been happening for a long time.
Right. Okay.
All right. And then Valentin Road, is that going to be vacated or is already vacated in the middle of the site?
It's already vacated.
Yes, right. Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you, Mr. BSR. That made me forget where we are, though. Mr. Armijo, did you speak on this case?
I did, Madam Chair. Okay. I just finished.
Okay, let's go to transportation.
Good morning. This is Jean Wolfenberger with transportation. If future development is not going to be submitted to DRB, a traffic circulation layout will be required prior to building permit. Based on the uses of the development and size, a TIS or trip generation may need to be provided, and a subsequent traffic impact study based on new DPM requirements. Kimmick is a minor collector road. Paseo is a principal arterial, and Rosa Parks is a major collector road. Infrastructure lists shall be required for sidewalk improvements along the entire frontage. And based on some roadway cross sections on Kimmick and rows of parks, it appears that some roadway improvements will need to be required. For instance, Rosa Parks does not meet minimum right-of-way requirements for a major collector road, as indicated by the sketch plat, according to the DPM requirements. Rosa Parks and Kimmick Road both have proposed bike lanes according to the master bikeways plan. A study has, which I'm sure you're aware of, has been done for Paseo del Norte to include a minimum of 6 lanes in the future. For the interim condition, DMD is moving forward with 4 lanes in each direction. When we move forward to develop these road cross sections and proposals to move forward with any possible improvements along the frontage, we'll need to visit with DMD for approval of the roadway cross sections and subsequent infrastructure. You're only required to build your half of the frontage for you know, the ultimate section in this case. So we'll recommend following up with meetings with DMD prior to the next submittal.
Gene, this is Steve Metro. Question. The SAD 228 that required the building of that of the south half of Paseo del Norte, the typical sections and the plans that were with that, has anything changed since that was built?
Well, we have a new study in place. We'll just have to discuss those requirements because, you know, DMD is moving forward with the project, and I just want to make sure that we are in compliance with the study that was recently done in the last year.
Is that study available?
Yes, I may provide that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Wolfenberger. Planning comments?
This is Maggie Gould. We had the standard sketch plat comments, and then please provide a map or a graphic showing the zone boundary lines as approved by the EPC. The plat must show zone lines or have a measurable description of those zone boundaries. Please see section 5-2, avoidance of sensitive lands, for requirements to avoid site features such as steep slopes, mature trees, rock outcroppings, or archaeological sites. And then all future development is subject to the requirements of the underlying zoning and any of the overlays.
Okay, and Mr. Metro or Mr. Voss, I'm looking at the air photo as well for this property, and the southern part looks like it has quite a bit that's gone on there. It looks like I can't tell if those are natural scar lines or if they represent some kind of rock feature. Do you know what you have on the property there?
Those are dirt piles that Guzman has used that site. He had a crusher in there, but his crusher permit has been expired and could not get renewed due to the proximity.
And this would be east of those piles.
You're on the southern part. He had the whole southern part. Utilizing the southern part of the site.
Okay. And anyhow, with the IDO, we have new requirements about protecting some of the natural features that are on a site. And so it's important that you be aware of those and at this point protect those natural features until there is the documentation of what is out there. And Mr. Voss is familiar with that sensitive lands analysis. Okay. All right. I think those are your comments, unless you have any further questions. I had one other question. So the immediately to your west is RML zoning, and it looks like it's been platted into maybe some single-family residential. Do you know what is immediately west of the site on the north?
This is Michael Voss, and that is zoned RML. That platting, I think, dates back to some of the original volcano cliffs platting. So I don't know that there are any proposals to develop that in the near future.
Okay, it's vacant at this point in time?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, all right. Thank you. And that would just be need to be kind of accommodated with whatever site plan is proposed here, if that's single family residential. Okay, any further questions from our applicants?
I guess, so a number of these, the comments that were made were regarding infrastructure requirements for this property. So this plat is, the purpose is solely to comply with the conditions set by the EPC on the zone change to divide the property north and south along the zoning line between MXL and MXM. Both tracts are proposed to be greater than 5 acres in size, which would require to go back to any future site plan to go back to EPC or there to be a further subdivision plat. And I'd also point out that there is a prior approved site plan for subdivision for this property that was approved in 2017. And this proposed lot line is consistent with that prior approval to divide the north part separate from the south part. Moving this plat forward sooner rather than later is a priority to comply with the EPC condition. So if the board would be amenable, I think, can you comment on the possibility of a bulk land waiver and whether or not those infrastructure requirements could be pushed off to future development once that's actually known?
Ms. Gould?
Mr. Boss, can you repeat the last part of that again, please?
Yeah, the last part of that is we'd like to move this particular plat along to comply with the EPC condition, and it'd be much easier to do that without having to do an infrastructure list and financially guarantee something, especially since we do not know what the future development is going to be at this point in time for the property. So if it's possible for the DRB to weigh in on a bulk land waiver in that process, so we can comply with the condition and then based on the lot sizes, future subdivision or a DRB site plan will be a requirement.
So this is Maggie Gould again, Madam Chair. I think what Mr. Voss just said about a bulk land plat is acceptable. The site is over 5 acres. So no matter what, it would have to return to DRB, the underlying zoning, MXL. So I think they would meet the criteria. I mean, obviously they would have to submit the application, but I think they could meet the criteria for the bulk land. I think the question is probably similar to the question that we asked of our friends at Mesa del Sol. I mean, this is a much smaller subdivision, but we do want to make sure that infrastructure would be distributed fairly over the site so that one developer would not end up with all of the infrastructure, the burden of having to build that.
And Mr. Voss, the northern part was rezoned to MXM and the southern part remains MXL, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Mr. Biazar, do you have any comments on this?
Yeah, this is Shahab Biazar. I think Maggie touched on what I was going to say. If one parcel ends up doing a major improvements where it would serve the other property, typically bulk land variance will not be granted. So we need to look at the type of improvements that might be required as part of the replat. And if one person is not going to be responsible to do a major improvement where it would serve the other property, then I think we could grant a bulk land variance.
Sorry, this is Maggie Gould again. And this may have been said and I just missed it, but the acreage of each zone for this property, does the acreage of each zone equal more than 5 acres?
Yes, the MXM portion on the north is slightly less than 10 acres, and okay. The southern portion is 6.5, I think.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and those will need to match the EPC notice of decision. Okay, so I guess it's a bit of a question mark, Mr. Boss, but you kind of understand the overview of that?
Yes, understood. We'll work with Mr. Metro and his team to hopefully address these comments in preparing the actual plat application.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Metro, Mr. Voss. We're now on sketch plat, which is item number 12, PR 2020-4211, sketch plat PS 2020-70 for Americas LLC. And it's located on Tramway Boulevard between Tennyson Street and Academy Road. And the applicant team, is that Mr. Archuleta?
Madam Chair, members of the board, that is correct.
Okay. Go ahead and give us an overview of this request or this potential request.
Okay. Madam Chair, members of the board, this is a request for a lot consolidation. The intention is to consolidate 3 existing lots in between Tramway, north of Academy, kind of next to Tennyson, and here for comments to determine what the next steps will be in achieving this. The property is dual zoned, MXL and PD. I don't think they really have an idea of what they're going to do with it yet, aside from understanding what it's going to take to consolidate these 3 lots. So I'm here for comments. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And just check real quick, is there anyone here to speak from the public on item number 12 on Tramway Boulevard? All right, seeing none, let's go to Water Authority for comments.
Hello, Derek, this is Chris Cannon with the Water Authority. Thank you for clarifying that development is not known for the site yet.
Yes.
If you can, please include the note I've added on my comments, include that on the plat. And it's existing public water and sanitary sewer infrastructure may not be sized or constructed adequately to serve potential future development. Improvement or upsizing of existing public infrastructure may be required as a condition of future development approval. And for information only, proposed tract 2A has access to public water line along Academy, as well as along its northern property line. It also has access to public sewer along Academy Road. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Code enforcement.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement. Code Enforcement reviewed this project for compliance with the IDO and has no opposition or comments at this time.
Thanks, Carl.
Parks and Recreation.
This is Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec. So the property is located across the street from the NRPOC zone, which makes it subject to all of the adjacency regulations to major public open space. So at this time, that is true that because even though Tramway is in the middle, it's still subject to those regulations. With the IDO update, I believe they're going to be doing something that will eliminate a certain classification of roadway, and I'm sure Tramway will be included. But if they were to put in an application prior to that amendment, they would have to do either a single loaded street or a 20-foot buffer there adjacent to Tramway or get a variance for that. And then also, I couldn't tell if the consolidation would be equal to 5 acres or more. And if it is, then it would need to go to EPC for a site plan due to that adjacency requirement. So once the amendment goes through, that may not apply any longer. So that's what I have right now. Thank you.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to hydrology.
Ernest Armijo, hydrology. A MAFCA approval will be needed prior to hydrology approval for the platting action. And as a general comment, approved grading and drainage plan is required prior to building permit. One of these conditions is met: 500 cubic yards of grading, 1,000 square foot of proposed building, or 10,000 square foot of proposed paving.
Okay, thanks, Ernest.
Transportation.
Good morning, this is Jean Wiffenberger with Transportation. Because this is adjacent to Tramway Boulevard, coordination is needed with NMDOT for any requirements they have before moving forward with regard to possible right-of-way dedication. And because you're also bordering Tennyson, Tennyson is classified as a collector road. We'll need to see a road cross-section proposed for that. Collector Street and subsequently sufficient right-of-way shall be dedicated, and it also appears a six-foot sidewalk and curb will be needed along the property frontage along Tennyson.
Okay, thanks, Jean.
Okay, and maybe this is my own question, but is tramway access controlled along here, Ms. Wiffenberger?
Yes, tramway is access controlled, correct.
Okay. All right. Okay, planning comments.
This is Maggie Gould. The site appears to have two zoning categories on it, and so the PD zone requires a site plan or a zone change in order to develop anything on that parcel. And if you are replatting, the zone lines must be shown on the plat.
Okay, thank you, Maggie.
And
Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Ms. Sommerfeld.
I apologize. I had one other question. I know there's an underpass under Tramway that we were talking to. That there's the EPC case directly to the north of this case about accessing the open space that would be on the east of Tramway, and I'm wondering if this parcel also plans to have access through the underpass.
Madam Chair, Cheryl, you know, I'm not totally sure, but I can ask that question as a point of clarification or understanding of what the intent.
Thank you.
Ms. Sommerfeld, are you referring to like where it says Sims Park Road on the east? Is that the underpass?
I believe that's the underpass, but I would have to go, I guess I'd have to look a little closer at the street view. But I know there's an underpass that is somewhere between these two streets, Academy and one north, because that apartment complex that's going in that RMH zone right to the north is going to be building a trail that connects to that underpass.
Yes.
Okay. All right, thank you. Good information. Ms. Gould, I just wanted to clarify with the PD zone, does that require a site plan EPC?
This is Maggie Gould, Madam Chair. Yes, either a site plan EPC or an existing approved site plan, or if they want to develop under, if they would like the whole thing to be the same zone, they could ask for a zone change and remove the PD and ask for a straight zone.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. And Mr. BSR and maybe Mr. Archuleta, I just, on my own notice, there's quite a few easements along this property. It seems like PNM as well has some easements, and I'm just trying to figure out what should be said about that with regard to future, if there is a intent of future development here.
Madam Chair, members of the board, right now, PNM does have a copy of the proposed consolidation. So any changes related to the existing easements will be addressed upon receiving their comment as part of plat review as part of this process. So we haven't received anything yet to determine what needs to be done. I believe the PD lot right above that sliver that's PD under our application is owned by PNM, so it could be connected to that. So we're just waiting to hear back what their ideas are in terms of addressing these easements.
Okay.
Thank you.
And any other thoughts, Mr. BSR?
So this is Shahab Yazar. I mean, most likely with type of these developments, the developer may reach out to PNM and try to modify that existing easements. That's a possibility. They, you know, they have what they do, they usually take the existing utilities and put it on a single pole and reduce the easements in order to develop the property better. But, you know, but there are still setback requirements, I think, from power lines and all that stuff that needs to be met for future developments. But yeah, and they still have a lot of work to do on this plot for future development.
Okay, any questions, Mr. Archuleta?
Madam Chair, members of the board, not at this time. I appreciate feedback on this consolidation attempt. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We are on item number 13, which is, and I'm gonna try to keep us just pushing through to the end here, we're almost done. Project PR 2020-4157, sketch plot 2020-65 for Tim Nisley, public right-of-way located south of Freeman between 5th Street and 6th Street. Is the applicant here? Okay. No one here, correct? Not seeing anyone. Okay, I think we'll just send Mr. Nisley sketch plot comments. This is the second time he hasn't been able to be here, so let's just send him the comments.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I just want to note, Mr. Nisley asked for the Zoom instructions after I sent him his comments last night, so anyways, I just wanted to let that be known.
Okay, thank you. Then let's go to item 15, which is action sheet minutes from August 5th, 2020. Is there a motion to approve those action sheet minutes?
Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Rec, I move to approve the action sheet minutes from August 5th, 2020.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, second.
Okay, let's vote, starting with Water.
Chris Cadena, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia, Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, approves.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Gene Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There is a consensus vote of the DRB to approve the action sheet minutes from August 5th. And our meeting is adjourned at 11:14 a.m.